This is Amarins. Hi again. Welcome to episode 66 of the Amarins podcast. It's Friday, January 25th, 2008. My name is Arthur, and I am a gay American now living in New Zealand. Welcome. Hope you've had a good week. I've had a pretty good week, all things considered, except that I had to do the part-time job 2 days this week. But never mind, I got through it, and I'm back here talking with you. A new study ranks New Zealand number 7 in the world. Doesn't matter on what exactly, because New Zealanders are fascinated by what other people think of the country, but I'll tell you about that first. A dead New Zealand Prime Minister is causing a stink in Northern Ireland, and Kiwis love classic rock. Or do they? Well, those are some of the topics I'm going to be talking about today. And I'm also still working on trying to improve my sound. I've gotten some feedback on it already. And if you have strong feelings about it one way or the other, do let me know. Even if you don't have strong feelings, let me know if you think that there's any improvement or not. I know that one thing is that you won't be hearing me pulling on the cord anymore, because obviously I don't have that cord. Well, I suppose if you miss it, I could try to find something to bump or what have you. But anyway. Now, the first thing I wanted to tell you about was that study. Now, what the study is that New Zealand was ranked 7th in an environmental index. And this came out in preparation for the economic summit in Davos, Switzerland, the World Economic Forum. And well, essentially, what the study ranks various countries according to things like air pollution, water quality, how they control industrial pollution, and emissions, things like that. And on the study, New Zealand was ranked 7th in the world. And what let New Zealand down, primarily, was pesticide regulation, because as an agricultural country, there are a lot of pesticides that are used, marine protected areas, biodiversity, and emissions. Now, I don't know what the marine protected areas refers to, because there have been a growing number of marine reserves and marine parks that have been established in recent years. Biodiversity, well, that could be, because a number of species have gone extinct since Europeans arrived. And emissions, that is true, because there have been very few regulations on auto emissions in particular, which in most of the world is the largest single source of air pollution. However, the government is working on coming up with an emissions monitoring scheme. And once that's in place, that will probably help that quite a bit. Because New Zealand did achieve 100 in policy areas of water and sanitation. So essentially, it's saying its water and sanitation policies are quite good. Now, in case you're wondering, the United States ranked 39th, which was well behind countries like United Kingdom, which was 14th, and Japan at 21st. And what held it back primarily was things like greenhouse gas emissions, which the U.S. has done very little to try to control during the current regime's time in office. But Australia ranked 46th, even lower. And the reason it had low scores was because of water stress, pesticide regulation, climate change, and emissions. Now, Australia has been in the middle of a drought for many years now. As a matter of fact, there's some areas that have been in drought for over 10 years, and it's been going on so long now that they're actually talking not so much about drought, but about permanent climate change in those regions. At the same time, however, there are floods currently all over Australia, especially in Queensland. There were some people who were evacuated from a town in Queensland, I believe it was last night, and while they were away, some scum went in and looted their houses. They took whatever wasn't destroyed in the flood. But apparently, people would put things up high to try to avoid flood damage, and the scum went in there, and they went through what was up high and threw what they didn't want down on the floor, you know, in the muck and the water and all that. So, I mean, it's like adding insult to injury, really. But I digress. Australia does have trouble with water. They don't have enough of it where they need it, and right at the moment, they have too much in other places. Pesticide, they have the same problem that New Zealand does. Basically, agriculture uses a lot of it. But climate change, I think that that will be changing for them, because they are now backing the Kyoto protocols, which they didn't do under the previous prime minister. So it's entirely possible that, in fact, it's likely that Australia's rankings will go up. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the next time that they do this, however often they do it, I don't know, if in the next time that I would think that Australia would be above the U.S. But we shall see. Well, that's what that survey was that put New Zealand at number 7. But I said at the beginning that it didn't really matter what the survey was. And what I mean by that is that New Zealanders have this really big fascination with how the rest of the world sees them. They want to know, do you like us? Essentially. And I don't mean that in any sort of put-down way or anything like that. It's in some ways, it's kind of endearing, really, that they care so much what other people think. But some of it is a bit of an inferiority complex. Being a small country on the edge of the world, you know, New Zealanders are sort of out on the edge. So you can kind of understand where this comes from. And I suppose it's only natural. Australians do it too to some extent, but what I've noticed more is that they only talk about things where they are better than anybody else in the world. Number one tennis player or number one in one sport or another. Or if some Australian does something extraordinary. And I've talked about this before. I've blogged about it when I talk about news for penguins. And I'm not going to go into that now because that's a whole topic in itself. But essentially their approach is a little bit different because they only talk about the things where they do excel, whereas New Zealanders will often tout things where we come in like in the top five, as opposed to only the things where we're number one. And as American, I noticed that immediately, probably because Americans are accustomed to thinking of themselves as number one in the world for everything, whether we deserve it or not, we often think that. And so when I came to a country that wasn't necessarily number one, and that did notice when it was number seven, say, I really noticed that. It really stuck out to me. But, you know, I mean, every country, I suppose, has its own things that it has to deal with. And being a small country on the edge of the world, it is a bit difficult to be number one in things, apart from the odd gold medal at the Olympics and so on. But, but I will have a link to the original study in the blog if you want to know more about it. Now, the Prime Minister thing I was mentioning was a bit tongue-in-cheek, I suppose, because it's obviously not really the dead Prime Minister that's causing the problem, but it's a statue of one. And it's a statue of William Massey, who was New Zealand's second longest-serving Prime Minister. And he was Prime Minister during World War I. And a statue of him stands outside of a council building in County Londonderry in Northern Ireland. I'm not even going to begin to try to pronounce the name of the town. But that's where he was from, and he was born there in 1856, and he emigrated to New Zealand in 1870, so he was really quite young when he left. But he did come back twice as Prime Minister, and the town fathers erected the statue of him. Well, the problem is that the surrounding province is Republican, essentially, and the town itself is Unionist. They, you know, favor to stay with Britain. There's been a move throughout Northern Ireland, but in this town as well, to try to essentially be neutral. They try to remove anything that's overtly religious or that is royal. So you don't have overtly Catholic things, and you don't have overtly British or royalist things. And one of those things is the statue, because he's identified as an Orangeman, which, as you may know, is basically a Protestant order in Northern Ireland. And it's one of the main problems, one of the main points of contention between those who favor union with the rest of Ireland and those who favor continued union with Britain. So a lot of the Catholics feel that the statue should be removed because it's associated with Orangemen and therefore Protestantism, and therefore it's divisive. Some other people think that's a bit silly. And an Auckland historian, who I don't necessarily always pay a whole lot of attention to, nevertheless was saying that Massey was an Orangeman when it suited him, and basically he was a member of the Auckland Orange Lodge back in the 19th century, and he apparently promoted those ties when it suited him politically, but he wasn't exactly committed to it, and apparently there's no evidence that he ever actually participated in any of that. But nevertheless, I always think it's interesting when some really odd New Zealand connection pops up in the other end of the world, and this was one of those times. But less, closer to home, but no less odd, there was a story that was originally covered in the Christchurch Press, and it was posted on the Stuff website. And the headline said, "Kiwis prefer classic rock over pop." But listen to the opening sentence. "CD-buying Kiwis would rather rock to Led Zeppelin than listen to younger artists, according to recording industry figures show." Now, you think about that for a second, and think about that carefully. CD-buying Kiwis. Well, this is the age of iTunes and Vodafone songs and all those kinds of things. So who's buying the CDs? They tend to be older. They tend to be maybe more conservative. They're probably baby boomers. So it just stands to reason that they would be buying things like Led Zeppelin, the Eagles, and people like that. Whereas the younger people are very often ordering things online, buying things online, or not buying them at all, you know, going through some illegal source. So I thought that was a fascinating spin on a statistic that really doesn't tell you anything. Because unless you know the ages of the people they're buying that are buying these CDs, maybe what their economic class is, it doesn't really tell you anything. And it's a kind of tendency I've seen before in the media, not just in New Zealand, but in other countries as well, of course, where they get the totally wrong end of the stick when they're reporting on some statistic. And as Benjamin Disraeli said, and I'm paraphrasing here, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. And this is certainly one of those instances because the fact is that certain Kiwis, the CD-buying ones, buy classical rock like Led Zeppelin doesn't mean that that's what Kiwis generally prefer. And their headline was certainly misleading, to say the very least. But be that as it may. Okay, I'm going to move on to the comments now. And first up, I have a voicemail to play.
Hey, Arthur. This is Tom, a.k.a. the Rambler Redhead. Just wanted to leave you a quick message to let you know that I listened to the last two episodes today, and I really thought the politics show with Jason and Archer was really, 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 really good, and it really puts a different perspective on it, and I just appreciate all of your inputs, and I really look forward to the future shows in that regard. But I also wanted to say I really enjoyed your birthday show as well, and I was glad that Joe and I got to call you, and wish you the best wishes, birthday wishes. And the other thing I thought was really great is just how touched you were by what Nigel has done for you for your birthday. I thought that was really cool. Because, you know, on occasion with Joe, you know, I ask him to be on the show or do things, and sometimes he's not exactly always enthusiastic to do it. But then on occasion, like when we did the walk in the puppy cast, he did get into it. So it's a hot and cold type of thing, and I'm really glad that Nigel was able to get you such a great gift that really meant a lot to you, because that just shows you what a great partner that he is, that he thinks that way. So I just thought that was really awesome. So I really look forward to the future shows, and again, want to thank you for your friendship, and it was really wonderful to be able to meet with you, and made all the other podcasters jealous with envy. So, will you take care, and I hope to have you on my show again soon. So take care. Bye.
Thanks for that, Tom. It's funny, he talks about the other podcasters being jealous about him meeting me, and he's joking, of course, but on the Archer Group Show last week, Big Fatty was asking, was trying to ask Tom about meeting me, but it was all Skype and he wasn't able to. But I just thought it was kind of funny that he should ask that. But at the time that I recorded the birthday cast, I didn't know that listener Nancy from Japan had sent me a card, which I thought was really sweet. And a little note on it. And so thank you for that, Nancy. I really appreciated that. And I think next I'm going to go on to the written comment, which was from the last episode, episode 65. And it was from Archer, who said, "That's so nice of Nigel to get you the podcasting equipment. I know you enjoy having new toys to play with. He's so nice." And I said, "I agree. It was very nice, but he's nicer. I think I'll keep him." Well, for the time being, anyway. No, I'm kidding. It did mean a lot to me, as I said, and I'm still getting used to it, of course, but getting there slowly and trying out some new things here and there. Next up, I wanted to say that Nessa has added herself to my Frapper map, and of course, if you haven't added a pin to my Frapper map, by all means, please do so. But Nessa is a listener of many podcasts, and she and Fairy Princess Holly and Walt, who also listen, are about to launch their own podcast. And that new podcast is called We're Mean Because You're Stupid, or at least that's the working title, which I actually think is a great title. But I was really pleased to hear that because they're all great folk. I've traded comments with them on I've traded comments with them in various places and enjoyed the interaction thoroughly. And also in podcasting news, Big Fatty announced on the Archer Radio Group Show yesterday that he's coming back in his own podcast. He doesn't know the name yet. He doesn't quite know all the format yet, but apparently he's made quite a lot of progress in making it happen. So that was good news to hear, and certainly wish him well in that. And also in podcasting news, I received word that I Say is back. Now, it's a podcast that I've mentioned before, and it's always been one of my favorites. It's hosted by Andrew and oftentimes with his partner Jason. And it's been on a hiatus for a while, but it is back. Unfortunately, Andrew is having some problems with his RSS feed, which means that if you're subscribed through iTunes, it won't show up. So you'll need to go directly to a site to access it, and it's isayisayisay1word.info. There is a link on my blog under Parade of Podcasts, and I'll put one in the show notes as well. But he's back, and he's actually looking for help for anybody who might have advice and suggestions on how to fix the RSS feed. He would love to hear from you to try to sort it out. I don't know anything about that sort of thing, unfortunately, so I wasn't of much help. But any of you who do, he's definitely looking for ideas about how to fix it, short of the nuclear option of basically starting all over again, because that has implications of its own, as Eric from Confessions of Southern Born Yankee Land found out. But Andrew is back. I say, and I do too. No, it's back, and you can get to it through the link on my blog, or as I say, I think it's... As I say, it's .info, I believe, is the extension. And I certainly made a mess of that little announcement thingy there. But anyway, do check it out. And if you do know anything about RSS feeds or how to fix them, do get in touch with Andrew, because I'm sure he would love to find out more about what to do to fix it. And a few other little odds and ends I wanted to tell you about today before signing off. I mentioned at the beginning that I worked at the part-time job 2 days this week, and that was because they had some sort of special feature and they thought that they would need extra help, which it turns out they probably didn't, and I probably could have just done the 1 day and would have been fine. But nevertheless, I was there. Big deal. However, apparently the company is going to be going through another review, as they've done from time to time, and with an obvious eye toward cutting costs. So it's entirely possible that they will decide they no longer require my services, which in many ways would be just fine with me, because it hasn't changed any since I've talked about in earlier episodes. It's still the same, but just 1 day a week. But maybe that'll pass soon. And again, I want to remind you that I am on Facebook and on MySpace, Amarins. I'm always Amarins. Twitter. Flickr, what else? iChat, Skype, all of those things. If you're on one of those services, and I am, chances are I'm Amarins. And if you're on a different service that you think I should be, let me know, because I'm always looking for new things. My podcast, of course, can be downloaded through iTunes, and I have a link on. I'm now including a link in all the show notes for those who are not already subscribed to do so. Through the U.S. store, actually, which is where most of my listeners are, and which is where you should be leaving a review. Have I mentioned that yet today? however, you can also listen to it on my blog. I have a player there. I have a player in MySpace, and I've also now added one on Facebook as well. And so there are a variety of different ways that people can listen to my podcast without actually subscribing to it. Actually, on the Podcast NZ site, and I have a link on my blog to that as well, there's also a built-in player there, too. So theoretically, there are numerous ways that people can now access and listen to my podcast, should they wish to. But easily, three-quarters of my downloads come through iTunes. It varies roughly 70 to 80%, but roughly, we'll just say three-quarters, which is why the iTunes reviews that I keep going on about are so important. And if you ever wanted to do anything for me to make me feel all happy and warm inside, then please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you don't want to, or for whatever reason feel you can't, then go to the iTunes store and go to my show and click on yes, where the question is, was this review helpful? Because that also helps. And I've noticed that several of you have actually done that, or I presume you have, because I know I've done it for all 13 reviews, and other people have as well. So I presume that some of you have done that for me, and thank you very much. And you can also vote for me on, what the heck is that thing called? Podcast Alley or whatever it is. But I never think about that. That's why I never mention it. One last thing before I go. Today, I just wanted to tell you that over on my blog, amrens.com, I've added a new series of posts I'm calling Book Talk, where, oddly enough, I talk about books. And the first one is called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army by Jeremy Scahill, which actually I first heard about on the Democracy Now! Podcast. And the book I'm reading now I heard about on the Democracy Now! Podcast, and the one I'm planning to read next is also one I heard about on the Democracy Now! Podcast. But you might want to check that out if you want. And while you're there, you might want to leave a comment on this or any other episode. That's at amrens.com. And you can send an email to me at amrens@yahoo.com, or you can ring my U.S. listener line at 206-339-8413. But that's it for this Friday episode. I'll be back again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.